Showing my age, right? Yours too. Thank you, Kristen. It was amazing. So today's topic is owning our light. And I have to say before I start, and so you don't get embarrassed, right? I love the sound of children. Okay? Really, it's very okay. So I want to start in the description of the topic that I wrote 6 weeks ago or so. I included a line from Mary Oliver's poem, The Summer Day. And I want to start with that and get it out of the way, because you're going to be wondering where you heard that. And I don't want to distract you. I want you to, like, focus. So here's the poem, Mary Oliver, The Summer Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out on the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down in the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is your plan? What do you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? What do you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? So I'm going to work my way to that topic in the next 20 minutes or so. And I want to start with a piece of an interview that I heard yesterday from Liz Gilbert. You know Liz Gilbert, the Eat, Pray, and Love lady? Her. She was doing an interview for New York Times, and it was a teaser to get you to sign up for a Celebrate Your Life event in Phoenix in May of next year. And it was amazing. And what she spoke about in this little clip, which I'll put in the newsletter, was how to find out and how to answer your soul's calling, which I think is key to this thing called owning your light. It's not necessarily what you do. It's how you be. It's how you engage with life as you understand it and as you experience it. It's Kristen coming up here with a fan because she runs hot. And me too, thinking I should take my jacket off because I'm running hot right now. It's how we be in the world. It's how we decide to be. It's how we, when things don't work exactly like we want, like this morning with the host, Pat comes in and says, well, I can do it. We're flexible. Because that's how she bees. That's how she chooses to interact with, well, that didn't work. Okay, what can I do about that now, and how can I be in the world? And we're always at choice. We can be disgruntled and grumpy and miserable and unpleasant and unhappy. Or we can go, well, okay, that didn't work. Now what? Owning our life is choosing the now what that gets us in the direction we wish to go. That's huge. And most people don't know they have that capability. They think they are at the effect of what happens around them, rather than in charge of their way of responding to that. So I want to talk about this thing, soul calling, because we have this story And it's a story, right? And it's bad data. It's a false idea. That soul calling, when we figure out what it is we're quote unquote supposed to do, that everyone will love us and they'll pay us boatloads of money. Right? That's a belief. And very, 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 very few people actually have that experience. The question is, what is it that lights you up, that makes you want to shine, that makes you want to express and be and expand? And when we choose to do that, when we choose to show up as that, then we are actually owning our light. So, sorry, it's not a thing where somebody's going to pay us a ridiculous amount of money to do the thing that we love to do. It may happen. And it doesn't matter if it's the thing you love to do. If it's the thing that lights you up, you will do it for free because it lights you up. And that is a big idea because that's so contrary to the way of the world, right? So that's that, and we'll come back to it in a minute. So how many of you have done the Who I Came Here to Be worksheet? Oh, come on, I know some of you have. I did it here on Sunday, probably 6 or 8 months ago, and we've done it in classes over and over and over again. It's where you pick 5 or 6 or 7 people that you admire. That one? Done that, yeah, okay. You pick 5 or 6 or 7 people that you admire and the qualities that you admire in them. And then, once you've done that, it's like, oh yeah, I really like so-and-so, and I really think... And if you start looking at the qualities that you admire of these people that you admire, most of the time, it's because they're kind and considerate and attentive. They might be smart or creative, but really they are qualities. It's not the super successful high rollers that we admire. It's people who are engaged in life in a way that enlivens them and also enlivens everyone around them. So the way the worksheet works is you list the people that you admire and you list their qualities, and then you start looking for patterns. You know, if you've picked 7 people and you realize that 4 of them were generous people, or particularly attentive listeners, or kind or good with children, then you synthesize that information and put on and test out whether or not this is who you are called to be. It's a very interesting experiment, because the first time I did it, it was all like nice things. And I thought, well, I don't want to be nice. That's not who I'm called to be. I'm not called to be nice. Because that nice is boring, right? Maybe I am. It depends on how you define the word, right? So I'll stick a link to this in the newsletter as well, because I think it's really worthwhile for us to take a moment and sit down and consider why we are here. Because it's not necessarily that thing called day job or career or even second career, third career, or fourth career. It's who we are and what we give to the world and receive from the world by being who we have come here to be. So anyway, we'll come back to that in a minute. So Liz Gilbert, in her interview, said, there are 2 ways to find out why we're here. One, which is joyful and obvious and exuberant and easy and exciting and, oh yeah, let's do this. The much more common way, she says, when we discover we're discontented with something, and it's usually something in ourselves, we're discontented, something doesn't fit, something doesn't quite work, something doesn't quite align in our world. Something in our way of being in the world doesn't lift us. And that divine discontent is a gift. Because if we're paying attention, it will make us look. And it will make us notice. What is it that leaves me feeling incomplete? The answer to that question is the gift. What is it that lights me up that I'm not doing? What is it that lights you up that you're not doing? And how can you do it? How can you bring more of that joy into your life? So the interviewer, because it is an interview, said, so how do you find out what your thing is? And Liz says, well, you flail around a lot. You ask everybody you know what they did, and you try it all. You just try it all. And eventually, maybe some of it'll work and some of it won't, but eventually, if you stay with it, something will shift in you. And you will have that life that lifts you and everyone else. So it's not, you know, this lovely straight line that we know exactly how to behave and what to do and logic and reason and order and all that other crap. It's exploration. It's experience. It's, well, I parted my hair on the other side and it didn't look right, so I'm going to try this side now. And more than that. Because we have to explore. We have to get outside of our comfort zone and expand and reach and explore and try new things to find out what it is that lights us up. So when I was traveling Thanksgiving week, I was listening to an audiobook by a dude named Jeff Brown called Grounded Spirituality. And I really, part of me is terribly annoyed by this man because he uses way too many words. And the essential idea of it is looking at your life and seeing the breadcrumb trails. You can't do it ahead of time. You can't see the path before you walk it. It's always retrospective. Next time. It's always retrospective when we look back and we say, oh, that's what it was. That's where I came from. That's how I got to here. Because we just walk the path and we try the things. Did I tell you I failed public speaking? It was horrible. I thought, I'm never going to do that. That's such a stupid thing. Why on earth? God. And, you know, here we are. Because we can't see the road in front of us. We can only look back and go, oh, that was how it worked. And so his suggestion, Jeff Brown's suggestion, is explore your universe of everything that you know everything you have ever done that lit you up, enlivened you, made you feel exuberant and juicy. And see if there's a way to do it now. And because each of us is a divine spark that is unique and individual, like Dr. Holmes says, everyone's path will be a little bit different. And that's great news. Because God knows we don't need but one of me on the world. One is plenty. And so my question, I mean, if you feel like you've already done your thing and now you can just rest, guess what? If you're still here, you still have value. You still have something to offer simply by being yourself, by being the presence, the light that you choose to be. There's a story. It's an ancient story, parable probably. A kid is walking along the beach with a grandfather, and there are starfish everywhere on the beach. And the kid, not knowing any better, is picking the starfish up, which are still alive, the starfish, and the kid is picking them up and throwing them back in the ocean. And the grandfather says, like any good grandfather would, well, you can't save them all. And the kid says, I don't care, I can save this one. And this one, and this one. We can do that. We can't necessarily save the world, or maybe we can, who knows? But we can save this one. And the way we do that is by being ourselves. When we focus on the presence we wish to be in the world. So in today's spiritual thought that Shelley read, Dr. Holmes wrote about everyone having a unique divine spark. In the next paragraph, he continued, "Unity and uniformity are not the same thing. No two blades of grass are identical. What does that mean spiritually? Incarnated within each of us is not only a divine spark, not only an incarnation of the living spirit of the cosmos, but a unique presentation of the cosmic whole." Each one of us has a piece of that, a glimmer of that cosmic whole that shows up with our name on it. So why don't we own our light? You want to make a list? Why don't we own this thing which is our unique gift to the world? The short answer is it's cultural conditioning. It's absurdly simple, completely rational. When we were young and small, and innocent, there were these adults in our lives that told us what they believed the truth was, which is, don't let anybody see you. Don't misbehave. Don't. Don't stand out. Don't stand up. Don't shine. Because that's what they knew. That's all they knew. And it kept them alive for that long, right? So this is good data they're giving us, right? It's actually really bad data. But it's all they had. It's all they had to work with. It's all they had to transmit to us. And then we have to have the wisdom to say, yeah, I get that. I understand why that exists. And there is a way for each one of us to shine our unique gifts in the world without having to have our heads chopped off. And the bad news is if we're not paying attention and we heard this message of you can't possibly do that. You're not allowed. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You're not whatever. Fill in the blank. If we heard that enough and believed it when we were young, we internalize it. And we start telling ourselves that same story, even if the parental units that used to tell it to us are gone. We're telling ourselves the same garbage. And we have to stand up and say, got it. That's a bit of conditioning. That isn't what's actually true. This is a difficult idea. And it is in the way of us shining our light. Because the status quo says, don't shine. Fortunately, if you're in this room frequently, or if you've taken classes, or if you've studied this material, or if you've been around a while and listened and taken in these teachings, you will know that we do not have to be at the effect of these commonly held beliefs. It takes work, though. And at the same time, we can notice once those beliefs have grabbed us, we can say, I'm sorry, you're not in charge of me. But we have to do that because this cultural conditioning is really powerful and it's very widespread and every bit of it is a lie. And we have to be present enough to ourselves to say, that may be a common belief, but it isn't true. Because each one of us is way more than what it is we have been told. Every one of us is more than that. How many of you have read Brené Brown's Gifts of Imperfection? It's been out about a decade now. I was surprised. The subtitle is, Let Go of Who You Think You're Supposed to Be and Embrace Who You Are. Early in the book, she talks about the do lists and the don't lists. She's a qualitative social science researcher, if you don't know who she is. And so she goes and she gathers interviews from people, and then she synthesizes them to look for common themes and common threads. And I'd hate to be married to her, because at the end, when she's gathered 10,000 interviews, then she tries to make buckets out of them and find out what the patterns are. She describes it actually in the book and says her husband takes the kids and leaves because she's just impossible when she's trying to synthesize this information. But at the end, when she was working on this particular book, she came up with a list of things, behaviors not to do if you want to have wholehearted living, which is what we're talking about. Shining our light is living with our whole heart, not some kind of compressed or small way of being. Listen to this don't list. Perfection, numbing, certainty, exhaustion, self-sufficiency, being cool, fitting in, living in judgment, or having scarcity consciousness. That's what you want to avoid or turn away from when you realize you're doing it. And now listen to her do list. The people who were living from their whole heart, shining their light. Worthiness, rest, play, trust, faith, intuition, authenticity, hope, love, belonging, joy, gratitude, and creativity. Flip the page, come on. Of that list of qualities that support us in shining our light, it's not the small, it's not the compressed ones. It's all of that expansive fullness. The other is a prescription for failure and disappointment and dissatisfaction. And we get to choose like everybody else. And we get to choose and choose and choose and choose and choose. Unfortunately, you don't just do it once and it's good. We have to revisit this. When anytime we wake up having a bad dream or the wrong side of the bed, we get to go, oh, wait a minute, that's not who I am. That was a bad dream. So I'm going to invite you to consider for a moment your life. Put your hand on your heart and shut your eyes if it helps you focus. I want you to take a minute and think about how you can shine your own light more. It's about being, not doing, remember. How can you be more of who you came here to be? How can you show up as your own brilliance? When you've got something, open your eyes so I can tell. Those of you who have been around a while know what happens next. We have a few minutes. I'm not running over yet. Grab a neighbor. If you don't know their name, ask. Share what you discovered about how you can shine your own light more. 20 seconds, so this isn't the whole story. How can you shine more? And then they'll have 20 seconds to tell you their piece of the story. Okay, if the second person hasn't started talking yet, it's their turn. So how does it feel to actually speak out loud this thing, which is an up-leveling of your experience? Why do I do that? Why do I actually, like, ask you to speak it out loud? The answer is really simple. Because once you've said it out loud, it's more likely to happen. Once you've admitted it to someone else, it's more likely to come to pass. Because it's in your mind that, oh, wait, I already own this. I guess I might ought to try it. So, you know, just kind of park that in the back of your mind. Because you've owned a brighter part of yourself. A way to shine your own light more. And that's awesome. So I want to close with two little quotes and a story. The quote is, one of the quotes is from Maya Angelou. I learned that whenever I decide something with an open heart, I usually make the right decision. I've learned that even when I have pains, I don't have to be one. I've learned that every day you should reach out and touch someone. People love a warm hug or just a friendly pat on the back. I've learned I still have a lot to learn. I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, But people will never forget how you made them feel. And the second piece is a story about Ella Fitzgerald and Marilyn Monroe that I didn't know until fairly recently. Marilyn was famous, Ella was not. This nightclub owner wasn't sure about having Ella Fitzgerald sing. Marilyn wouldn't have it. She said, "Book her, and I will be here every single night." After that, that club got so much publicity. And Ella never again had to play in little dinky clubs. This is a piece that we don't know of Marilyn's light, because we only have the picture of her as the pinup girl who lived hard and died young. We don't know this story about her, because she actually got it that in supporting this other musician, she was also brighter. And then the third, President Jimmy Carter, "I have one life and one chance to make it count for something. My faith demands that I do what I can, wherever I can, whenever I can, for as long as I can, with whatever I have to try to make a difference." Use what you can with what to do what you can, whatever, however it goes, I don't remember. Because we each can. It may not be a lot, but we each can. So, do what you can with what you have. Bless yourself and bless us all. Thank you. So now it's time for our community prayer. And I want to take a second while the guys are getting set up to talk about our Ministry of Prayer box. I haven't done this in a while. We do have a Ministry of Prayer team. So if you are looking for prayer support on anything, I think it's gold colored. There's a piece of paper in your bulletin that is a prayer request. Fill it out. Stick it in the red box in the lobby. And we'll work on it. Okay? And if you want an in-person prayer, Shelley will be standing by the box after we're done today. But now the community prayer, we only pray affirmatively around here. We don't beg and whine and complain and do pity parties. We just claim the good that we desire. So hold that speck of good that you claimed for yourself, that expansive nature, that expansive aspect of yourself that you claimed a few moments ago. Hold that in your mind while I speak the words. Infinite radiant light, the source of all creation, the presence that lives, moves, and has its being in each individual and all of life, that spins the planets, beats the hearts, moves the oceans, creates the perfect amount of oxygen in the atmosphere for us to breathe. This essence, this essential self that is so grand and also so personal, lives in every individual, breathes every individual, allows each individual to see how they can show up as more of their magnificent self. minute by minute, day by day. And so I rest in this knowing that this ability lives within every individual all the time, whether they know it or not. And when each one becomes aware of this skill set, becomes aware of this ability, becomes aware of this option, each one shines brighter. And there's nothing special, no special request, no special dispensation, simply what is already. So I celebrate this knowing, I celebrate this truth, I celebrate the definitiveness of this experience that has already happened. I relax, I allow, and I let it be. And so it is.